what to talk about first. The Golden Globes and Drew's droopy tits. And the fact that the more awards Brokeback Mountain wins, the more I hate it. Fucking director can't even speak English. We all know how Lynn Samuels feels about that. So I love Drew Barrymore. I love her. Don't I love her to pieces? I adore her. But what the hell was she thinking? You know, she had breast reduction surgery years and years ago. Because men don't understand this, that, you know, you love those huge, giant breasts. But there's like some point, I don't know this from personal experience, but I know people who've had this. There is a point where like a woman's breasts are so huge that they hurt her back. You know, that it's, that, and where they're so big that your bra straps are just like literally cutting. I mean, really, you know, they're big, heavy things. So she had breast and also Drew is a little tiny thing. She's like, what, 5'3"? Remember when she said she's built like a corgi? And, you know, I'm sure she wants to come back as like Uma Thurman. You know, or Cameron Diaz, or, you know, somebody tall with long legs. But she had breast reduction surgery a long time ago. So last night, she was presenting, or I don't know what, at the Golden Globes. And she wore this gorgeous, the color was beautiful. It was this beautiful green dress. But she didn't have a bra on. And for somebody, I'll tell you, only, what is she, 30? Her tits were hanging down to her waist. Now, I correspond with a man who was apparently only watching the Golden Globes on the Golden Globes, since his everything he wrote to me was about breasts. And he loved her breasts. Her breasts were his favorite breasts. And I was appalled at her breasts. And I just love her. But I noticed they did something else. The other thing was, her nipples were sticking out. You know, it must have been a little chilly there or something. And her nipples were sticking out. And after, I don't know how long, but there was some point at which they really obviously picked the camera up. So you could really only see. And, of course, her tits were hanging down so low, you know. But they picked the camera up so that you couldn't see her little nipples sticking out anymore. But I thought she looked, she looked great, except for her breasts. But you know the star of the Golden, well, I guess we're going to do the Golden Globes more than Al Gore. Didn't you just know it? Do you know who the total absolute star of the Golden Globes was? Absolutely, without a doubt. And I have to find out when his show is on. Not only when, I have to find out what channel. Isaac Mizrahi. Oh, my God. E! Fired Kathy Griffin because, who was it? I just read somewhere, one of the people she insults all the time, people keep getting her fired. They're like a bunch of fucking Nazis. What, you're not allowed to make fun of these people? They're idiots. And they always used to worry about what Kathy Griffin was going to say. Well, I don't know if we're ever going to see Isaac Mizrahi doing a red carpet again. He was so outrageous. He was so funny. He was better than the show. Now I missed a part. Somebody, I hear frantically my instant message going. I was talking to my mother on the phone. He apparently asked somebody if she shaved her nether regions. And then he like is feeling Scarlett Johansson's breasts. Well, you know what his excuse, first of all, he's gay. I mean, gay isn't even the word, you know. He's a screaming homosexual. I met him once. He was very nasty. But he was also, I think, well, he wasn't more famous, but he was like more upper class. It's when he designed clothes you couldn't afford instead of the schmatas at Target, which looked nice until I bring them home. I've stopped buying his clothes at Target. I was so excited that he was designing for Target where I could afford them. And I bought stuff and you get, well, it's not made for me, you know. I'm sure nothing wrong with him. So he's totally screaming gay. So if he wants to grab her breasts, you know, what the hell? And his excuse for everything is he's like taking notes. You know, because he's like a designer. He's going, every woman, he goes, are you wearing underwear? What kind of underwear are you wearing? And then he wants to look in their pocketbooks. And some of them wouldn't let him. Because does he stop and think, I wanted to see him, like, waving a tampon around. You know, did it ever cross his mind, you know, that they may have a tampon in there? He was fabulous. He was just that. And then they went into, and I must disagree with the Daily News with David Hinckley, who I love, who is a big fan of mine. So, you know, I know he has good taste, but I think he was totally wrong about the whole award show. I'm sitting there saying, why don't the people who do the Oscars watch the Golden Globes and find out how to do a show? Because you know what the Golden Globes is? Somebody comes up, they read the names, they give the award. Somebody comes up, that's a show. No singing, no dancing, no BS. Just give the awards. I want to see everybody's dress. And that's it. That's all you need. That is absolutely the only thing you need. You don't need, I don't know, whatever the hell they do with the Oscars that makes it last so long and be so boring. This just moved it. The only thing that slowed it down was Anthony Hopkins. But you know what the hell. Gwyneth had the ugliest dress of all. I don't know what she's thinking. I don't know what that woman is thinking. I really don't. And she, I must say, I thought at the beginning she looked terrible. Because her hair was all disheveled. But I guess she went inside. She must have fixed her hair. Because when she got done with Isaac. Oh, the other great thing he says is, he says to Hilary Swank, so now that you're single, like, are you here to find a date? And she's like, I'm not single. I'm trying to work out my marriage. I thought she was going to, like, punch him. She was going to, like, million-dollar baby him right in the mouth. He just will say anything. You know, and who was it? There was somebody. See, people in New York know him. When he was talking to Sarah Jessica Parker and what's his name? They know him. You know, they must know him because they live in New York. He's really from New York. Some of them didn't even know who he was, but did they ever find out? I wish I had seen him ask if she shaved her thing. Because the person instant messaged me and used a pussy word. I said, he didn't say pussy on television. He said, no, he didn't. So, Gwyneth Paltrow was wearing this white lacy, I don't know, like some, it really looked like a dress that would look better on Apple. You know, it's like some baby dress. All right, she's pregnant again. But then you look at her, she's glowing. She is really, I never liked her, but I like her now. And the person I fell in love with on New Year's Eve, because I had never heard her speak. I had never heard her talk before New Year's Eve. And she's really smart. Is Mariah Carey. She can actually carry on a conversation and everything. Oh, yes, she can. Oh, yes, she can. She's quick and she's smart and she can carry on a conversation. And, of course, Scarlett Johansson, who I watched on Saturday Night Live, on Saturday night, who is, you know, there must be a moment that I guess you don't recognize it when it's you. I mean, I must have had this moment. There is a moment when a woman, I don't know if a man, but a woman, is like at the peak of perfection. You know, it's like when there's a peach, and you just take it off the tree, and it's just at that perfect moment, just where it's never going to be that delicious again. And you bite into that peach, and that juice just... Scarlett Johansson is at that moment of her femininity. She, it's not even sex appeal. It's, I don't know what it is. It's like God made this perfect thing, you know, just at this moment in her life. So I guess that means, I guess women, it's all downhill after like 21, I guess. Keira Knightley is just about at that point. But not as much as Scarlett Johansson. But, of course, we all, you can look back and remember. Do you remember when Christina Ricci was like that? Also when she was about 18. And then she got sucked into that Hollywood thing, and she became anorexic or bulimic or whatever. That it was like, when those desperate housewives walk by, it's like, what is this anorexia on parade? You stick the four of them together, they don't weigh 100 pounds. It's the same. So I am so worried that somebody is going to say to Scarlett Johansson, you know, that she's going to get sucked into this, you know, because she is voluptuous and Rubenesque and, you know, all of that. I mean, she's got these amazing breasts and this fabulous behind. And, you know, she is like a woman. But Christina Ricci was like that. And they just browbeat her, you know, into turning into a scarecrow. Oh, God, don't do that to Scarlett. She's, and Mariah, who has a bigger ass than Jennifer Lopez ever had. I love Mariah. I know nobody likes her. I don't, nobody likes her. She sold how many? 7 million records this year. She's nominated for 8 Grammys. She tied Elvis for number one singles, and her ex-husband, who really was after her, you know, that's why she had that nervous breakdown. Because Tommy Mottola was, he really was out to destroy her, and everybody said, oh, you're crazy. You know, why? Because she's a woman? But he really was. And now him, you don't hear from him so much anymore. And, you know, she's just winning, like, everything on earth. You know, she is just in her fabulous moment. So, I just hate Brokeback Mountain. I'm sorry. The more it wins, I had an epiphany about that movie over the weekend, which is, it's an art movie. Because I'm having this argument with somebody about how much money it's going to make. You know, oh, it's such a big movie. The movie has been out for how long? Now, it's never been on more than 600 screens. You know, a lot of these movies open on, you know, like nearly 3,000. But it's made $28 million. And this person I know who loves movie, you know, is saying, oh, it's going to make $100 million. I'm saying in your dreams it's going to make $100 million. All the gay people have seen it. This is not a movie for straight America. This is, first of all, it's not a good movie. It is so false. It just, to me, rang so false. Nothing about it seemed possible to me. Nothing. Not their relationship, not the wife. Only Linda Cardinale, who nobody even knows was in the movie. You think she was sitting there? No. But and the more awards it wins, the more pissed off I get. But it's an art movie. That's what came to me over the weekend. It's like Transamerica or The Squid and the Whale or something. You know, movies that won awards last night that nobody has seen, nobody has heard of. And you know, even though Felicity Huffman won. Oh, well, The Squid and the Whale didn't win, did it? But it was nominated. Nobody saw that. I want to see it. You know, you wait for the video. You wait for the video for Capote. Oh, and I found out this morning why Rachel Weisz wore such a weird-looking dress. She's 5 months pregnant, and I guess she didn't want to look pregnant. You know who her boyfriend is? I didn't... Darren Aronofsky. Pi. You never saw the movie Pi? Oh, God, I love Pi. And Requiem for a Dream? Well, that's, you know, so I still, now I'm always wrong. I'm always wrong about politics and I'm wrong about popular culture because I have a very odd outlook on things, I guess. But I cannot bring myself to believe that Brokeback Mountain is going to win Best Picture at the Academy Awards. I just can't bring, and it certainly is not going to make $100 million. Who wants to see it? I absolutely can't imagine, like, what normal human being, you know, we're well, in New York, I guess not everywhere, what is it, $10.50 to see a movie? What kind of a normal human being is going to say, oh, let's watch, you know, the two gay cowboys. Let's see some butt-fucking, man. I just don't get it. I really don't get it. And Hugh Laurie won, which was nice for House. I didn't think, poor Kiefer Sutherland, oh, my God, he must have gotten so drunk because he lost. And when we come back, I will play you the most bizarre acceptance speech. Now, I left, it's only the end of this is any good. But I feel that if the most beautiful man on the face of the earth wants to make a serious point, then I will do him the honor of playing the part of it that's serious, knowing that there's something not so serious to come. You know, not only is serious, by the way, going to be in Rolls Royces, but I just read that when you buy a Rolls Royce with Sirius, you get a lifetime subscription. I mean, you know, it's not like we're giving away that many. How many people can afford a Rolls Royce? I wish I could. Well, more than two, but, you know, it's not like, I don't know. I would buy a Mini Cooper. I am so in love with those cars. They are the cutest cars I ever saw. Can you just see those Hummer 3s? They could just, like, how many Mini Coopers could have a Hummer 3? And, you know, like, ah! I'm Lynn Samuel, Sirius Left 146. Somebody thought I would be really interested to know Scarlett Johansson's mother is Jewish. I'm so fucking excited. James in North Carolina, hi.
Hi, Lynn, how are you?
Okay.
Great. Hey, I wanted to ask you, I'm really interested to see what your view is on this. Do you think that Joaquin Phoenix is strung out on coke or what?
No, he's apparently just extremely strange. I don't think he's strung out on drugs. He is, everything you read about him, he's like a psycho.
I mean, I was watching the TV screen like a hawk because I was sure his head was about to pop off. I really did.
No, he's just like that.
That's so bizarre.
Well, look, that whole family, is that whole family like pretty bizarre? I wish he would have said something about his brother. Shouldn't you say something about your dead brother?
And I'm not sure. I was too busy just watching him, like, squirm on.
Well, I was watching when he won because I said, oh, my God, what is he going to do? You know, because you just keep hearing he is a very peculiar person.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, the weird thing is I love the director of that movie, of that Walk the Line. I just love that James Mangold. And I couldn't bring myself to go see that movie. I have less than no desire to see it.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be so great, and I just can't get into it.
Well, he sings the songs himself, doesn't he?
Yes, and so does she.
Oh, she does?
They, you know, I just read an article over the weekend that Reese Witherspoon said she had never sung, and she had no intention of singing, and they somehow, like, tricked her into singing. So they both, but he threw himself into that character of Johnny Cash You know, if you notice, who was it who said how intense he is? They keep saying he's intense. That's like the polite word for crazy as a fruitcake.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt. All right, Lynn, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Okay. No, he is just strange. He really is. Talk about strange. This was the first award that was awarded. And It was for Best Supporting Actor in a Drama. God, that's what I love about... You know what the best thing about the Golden Globes really is? They are obviously ordered. This is so obvious that the first people they must thank is the Foreign Press Association. Because every person comes up and says, I'd like to thank the Foreign Press. It's as if they say, if you don't say that first, you're finished. Now, Philip Hoffman Seymour, he's finished because he totally forgot. But Emma Patha Merkelson, I love her name. Isn't her name great? Plus, to have a woman come up there and win an award and say, oh, I'm having such a hot flash. And it was nice to see finally, you know, like an adult woman win something. An adult woman who looks like an adult woman. She goes, I'd like to thank NBC. And then she says, oh, no, well, first I'd like to thank the Foreign Press Association. Like, you know, she saw that gun pointing at her head. Then she thanked NBC, you know, for employing, you know, because she's been on Law and Order forever. I have to rent that Lackawanna Blues. I never even heard of it. And Empire Falls, you know, which I got halfway through the, it's for the flag. Lynn got halfway through a book. I only read half of it. It didn't grab me that much. But it was, I just loved when she won. But you saw her like, now I wonder, this is not an award show where they will thank God a whole lot, right? But could they thank God before the Foreign Press Association, or they like have to come before God? But it was so funny how she backtracked that Philip Seymour Hoffman is never going to win another award from them because he never thanked them. Even though he won like the best award. So the first award they give out is Best Supporting Actor in a Drama, in a Movie Drama. And George Clooney won for Syriana, because how could he not? You know, you always, it's like that guy who called me last week. You know, if you play a gay person, you win. If you play a retarded person, you win. The other pretty sure way to win an award is to gain a lot of weight. If you gain a lot of weight, you know, you win. And George Clooney had to gain a lot of weight. And, you know, that's where he nearly killed himself in that movie. That's where they knocked him off the chair and he hit his head and he had the terrible headaches. And see, now here's a man. And they were like, oh, shut up. You fell off a chair. And it ended up that his spinal fluid was leaking into his brain. But it took them months to figure that out. You can die from that. You know, so here's one of the richest, most powerful men in Hollywood. And they're like, oh, take an aspirin and shut up. That's scary. That really is scary. You know, when somebody like George Clooney goes misdiagnosed for all that time. I mean, if somebody that rich and that powerful and that famous can't get a goddamn decent doctor, what hope is there for anybody else? So he wins for Syriana. I wish he had won for, like, more, you know, for directing or something. Maybe the Academy Rewards will, you know. Wake up! Get rid of these fucking gay cowboys. See, the only thing that bothered me is Heath Ledger could have won. I wouldn't have minded. That I wouldn't have minded. I haven't seen Capote because that's definitely a rental. It's not a go out and let people cough on you movie. So George Clooney won the first award for acting, and I'm sure he's very happy. So he comes out and he says,
Paul Giamatti was going to win. This is early. I haven't had a drink yet. I'm up here alone. I don't know how to handle it. Scared.
I'll make you feel good.
I'm standing up here because obviously dozens of people doing very courageous things. Starting with Steve Gagan, who wrote a screenplay that asks a lot of difficult questions. And I think he has to be saluted for that. And also a studio that was willing to take this on, because I don't think people often do. These are tough questions to ask, and I'm very proud that the studios are willing to ask these questions. I'm proud of that. I want to thank Jack Abramoff, you know, just because. First one up, get this thing rolling. I don't know why. Who would name their kid Jack with the last words off at the end of your last name? No wonder that guy screwed up. All right, I just got bleeped. Thank you all very much. This is an honor, and it's a privilege to be here, and thank you.
Oh, he didn't thank the Foreign Press Association either. He's finished. It's the end of him. So that was the only political comment the whole time. The whole time. And the Constant Gardener, Rachel Weiss won for the Constant Gardener. But I just thought that was like so. But not only did I think it was funny, they put it up on crooksandlawyers.com, which is a fabulous place, by the way, to get video, you know, and hence audio, crooksandlawyers.com. And a new one is coming. There's something coming in February called Politics TV, which is internet clips, I guess, which is interesting because Crooks and Lawyers thanked them for the Al Gore stuff, which I wish. Does anybody know where the audio is of Bob Barr introducing Al Gore? Because that was fabulous. What else happened at the Golden Globes? What else happened that was surprising? I need to look. Oh, the Brokeback Mountain song. How can a man who can't speak English direct movies? That amazes me. Oh, this guy, James Mangold, this Walk the Line guy, he made, now here, this is amazing. The movies he's made in 10 years. He's only been around 10 years. He made, his first movie was a movie called Heavy, when Deborah Harry was in it, Shelley Winters, who died. Oh, my God, she died. I interviewed her once. You know how seldom I do interviews? I've always very seldom done interviews. I can't stand listening to them. So why would I want to do them? But every now and then, there is just somebody so amazing that even I want to interview them. And Shelley Winters, how could you not want to interview her? This has to be, I don't know, 10, 12. She was already in her 70s. And fat. And so nice. So wonderful. So smart. So, oh, God. It's always very dangerous to meet somebody like that, you know, who you've just, I adore her as an actress. And you think, oh, God, you know, it's like, believe me, don't ever meet Michael Moore. But she was one, and not only was she wonderful, I have somewhere a snapshot of me and Shelley Winters. And this friend of mine, that girl I talk about from down south, the one who was fucking my boyfriend. When did you get past that? That's always such a bad, no, but I mean, it's like a big thing in your life at a certain point. Because everybody's always fucking somebody's girlfriend or fucking their boyfriend or something. And then at some point, I don't know, you stop having friends who are fucking your boyfriend. I don't know, what is it? Maybe in your 40s. You just stop having those kind of friends. Anyway, she was my best friend, but, you know, unbeknownst to me. Because it has to be unbeknownst. But she said to me, could I come up? I want to meet her. I want to meet Shelley Winters. So she comes up, and Shelley Winters posed for pictures with her. She was just the nicest person, and she was one of these people, Shelley Winters. She started out, and she was gorgeous. She was gorgeous. You people who just, you know her now, you know, knew her, have no idea. You have to look at, like, old pictures of Shelley. She's like a, she's like Marilyn Monroe. In fact, they were roommates, you know. Yeah, they were roommates for a while. But like Marilyn Monroe, she was really serious about acting, and she really studied acting. She really became a good actress. You know, her whole life was not the Poseidon Adventure. And she was wonderful. So anyway, this first movie that the Walk the Line director made was called Heavy, and Shelley Winters is in it, and Deborah Harry, and a guy named Vincent Pruitt Taylor, I think, or Vincent Taylor Pruitt or something. And it is one of the most wonderful, heart-wrenching movies. Nobody ever heard of it. But I saw it. That was when I went to movie screenings a lot. I saw a lot of good stuff. But then he made Copland. Oh, my God, that's one of the best movies. It's the only good movie Sylvester Stallone was ever in. He made that. Wait, I had to go to Raw Story. Read about Michael Ledeen. What happens if you just put in the name without putting names in the other box? I loved Copland. Like every day, first of all, I automatically love any movie that Ray Liotta's in. Even like fat, disgusting Ray Liotta. Doesn't matter, I love him. Okay, so he made Heavy. He did make something or wrote something called Oliver and Company, but I don't know what that is. Then he made Girl Interrupted, which whatever they say about it was good, even though she was in it. She was in it, but we didn't hate her then. Then he made one of my favorite movies of all time. Another one that Kate and Leopold. Kate and Leopold, that time travel thing with Meg Ryan and that beautiful man, Hugh Jackman. Nobody ever heard of Hugh Jackman. And that movie was just a delight. So I adored this director, like, all the way back to 1995. Then he made Identity with all those people getting killed in the motel. You see, first of all, this guy has got a huge range because he makes these, that, you know, crazy people movies and violent movies and comedies and horror. I mean, he can, like, and he writes most of them. And yet, as much as I love him, I swear to God, I can't make myself go see Walk the Line. I just can't. And I love Joaquin Phoenix, and I like Reese Witherspoon, and I love this director. And I keep going, Johnny Cash. Johnny, who cares? Plus, I don't like movies where people are portraying people that I know in real life. I mean, everybody knows Johnny Cash. This was my problem with Capote, you know. I'll rent it, but to run out and have people cough on you to see somebody, I saw Truman Capote a million times, you know, on television. So I don't know why I can't make myself see it. I really don't, but I can't. All right, we'll be back. I'm Lynn Samuel, Sirius Left, 146. Joe in D.C.
Hey, Lynn, I just wanted to say hello.
Thank you.
And just broke back.
No, you need to, like, do something about your phone, because I can't understand you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, that sounds better.
Okay, I want to discuss with you Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah.
And did you see the movie yet?
Yes, I hated it.
Oh, you haven't seen the movie?
Yes, I hated it.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I've been talking about it for weeks.
Well, I saw it, and I thought that it was really done, and I thought it was more, instead of, as you called it, butt-fucking, just more of a love story than anything.
The whole thing rang false to me. I am telling you, nothing in that movie
really
struck me as in the least believable. Nothing.
Nothing. Okay,
not
well,
the wives, not the their relationship. Absolutely nothing. I thought it was just horrible.
So why would it win so many awards then? I guess that's my question.
Because people, you know, it's like, why did that sack of shit movie Sideways win last year? You know, who knows? Because people think this is the movie you're supposed to like, so they all like it. There's always some movie everybody thinks, oh, this is the hip movie.
Okay.
Well, it's just my opinion. And I'm so annoyed it keeps winning awards. I really am.
No, I thought it was a great movie, so... But I just wanted to call it. I
Are you like
show,
a
so.
Straight guy or a gay guy?
I'm a gay guy. But
yeah. Well, what appeal is this movie going to have to anybody straight? What is it? What?
my family's seen it and they really enjoyed the movie as well. So
I don't know. Maybe it's because I really wanted to see King Kong that day, and I swear to God, I went to see King Kong and it was sold out.
That could be.
So I'm standing there saying Brokeback Mountain or Memories of a Geisha. And I couldn't decide. And I just, you know, I got to the ticket thing and I said, Brokeback Mountain. I should have said Memories of a Geisha. Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. I guess they have trouble hearing us too, don't they? Don't they? Okay, here. Ron in Palm Springs.
Hello?
Hi, honey.
Hi, Lynn. I can barely hear you, but I just wanted
to
know.
Well, maybe somebody could fix that. Either.
Right. I'm calling from Palm Springs. I'm gay, and I was raised in Idaho on a cattle ranch, and I have to tell you that Brokeback Mountain is incredibly accurate. The way they lived, and in fact, the way those guys were raised would cause them to not understand or even equate to what was going on emotionally in their relationship.
Can you hear me better now?
Just a little bit, yeah.
Can we fix that?
Can you hear me, Lynn?
Yes, I can hear you, but apparently nobody can hear me, and nobody can fix it. Or nobody cares to fix it, or whatever the problem is usual.
But I had my first relationship with a man when I was on the cattle ranch. He worked on the ranch, and neither he nor I understood at all what was going on.
Yeah, but I don't think that is unique. To being on a cattle ranch, I think that's unique to growing up in a certain time. You know,
this was in the 60s.
Yeah.
Actually, the movie paralleled my life. It was quite frightening how similar it is. I went on to be married. I had two daughters as well. And I found that, the confusion, the fear, the torment, everything that they went through, even after 20 years, was very, very accurate.
And you thought they were both gay?
Yes.
See,
yes.
I don't think, nothing will ever convince me that Heath Ledger was gay. I don't believe he was gay. I think Jake Gyllenhaal was gay, and Heath Ledger just, like, fell in love with him.
Now, see, what happened with Keith, I think, is that he simply, because of his childhood and his background, didn't have any understanding to his emotional, his emotional connection, let alone his sexual connection with him. But if he could have had the education or the understanding, which none of us did, you've got to realize when I was growing up at that same time, the only place that I thought that there could possibly be anyone that felt the same way that I did was in San Francisco, because I once saw a newsreel about a gay pride parade that took place back in the late 60s.
No, but I think it was that way everywhere. I mean, you have a unique connection to the movie because of your background, but I think any gay people in the 60s, because I was I guess it's still known as now, I was like the biggest fag hag in the world. And believe me, gay guys growing up in New York in the 60s didn't know what was really going on any more than you probably did.
Well, I
mean, you wouldn't imagine that about New York City. It was true. It was the time. It had something to do with the non-acceptance of homosexuality. You know, that was, it was the time. All right.
Yeah.
Well, see, you have a unique connection to that movie. And
well,
I just thought it was boring and false and, you know, nothing is ever going to make me like it.
Well, I don't think that I called to try to convince you to like it. I just wanted you to know that I really believe that the accuracy of the movie, the emotions portrayed, were really quite accurate. It was frighteningly accurate.
Okay, but you've survived.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I'm in a wonderful
You've survived to call serious. What more could a person ask? Well, thanks, hon. I have to take a break, or I'm going to be doing a break in the middle of the news. Lynn Samuels, Sirius Left, 146. You want to rent one of those movies that you get to the end, you don't know what the fuck happens? That movie Identity. James Mangold, the last movie he made before Walk the Line. Yeah, it's one of those, these people, and they're in the motel, and everybody's getting killed. But it's better than But you really, by the end, you don't know what the hell went on. And I've seen it twice. Do you know they showed Saturday night, I think it was, on Bravo, Vanilla Sky, twice? Do you know that I sat and watched that movie 1 3/4 times? And I still don't understand it. Did he get killed? Who was he? What? I absolutely can't make head and tail of that movie. And I love it. And I had totally forgotten Cameron Crowe made it, who is the last person you would ever imagine would make a movie like that. And I always say I hate Tom Cruise, but he ends up being in movies that is just one of the most fascinating movies. I'm sitting there saying, I'm watching this again. I turned it on, like, you know, after the beginning the first time, and I just ran right up until Mad TV. What an asshole I am. No wonder I don't like Brokeback Mountain. Nobody, like, has their face mashed. John in Georgia.
Hello, man. How you doing?
Okay, can you hear me?
I can hear you real good.
Okay.
I had some fucked up phones. That's
okay.
All. Because I can hear you. Hey, I got a few things for you. You asked a question a while ago about how can that dude make the movie in Brokeback Mountain and don't speak English?
Yes.
All he did was put it in and put it out. Gay-ass movie. Hey, me going to see Brokeback Mountain would be like me being black and going to see a damn Klan movie. You know what I'm saying? Who wants to go see some shit like that?
Well, you're being a little crude. But I must say, I just can't see, other than yuppies, you know, I can't see like a normal human person wanting to go see that.
I grew up on a farm, and we had friends and stuff up and down the road, and hell, even when we used the bathroom around the woods, we would turn our back, and it was unheard of.
And you didn't want to make the sheep jealous, did you?
No, hell no.
Thanks, hon. The hour is up. See, I think there's like yuppies around. There are. Fabulous. This, the original. Oy. And that tattoo. I never said the last hour. I played that tattoo song because I was looking all weekend for Friend or Foe from their new album to download it. And I found all these websites that said free download, Friend or Foe. But I couldn't download off anything. I got my thank you, whoever sent me the patch for WinMix. But there's like 500,000 people in the queue. You know, there's all these people waiting. You know, I guess maybe I'll do it tonight. Just leave the computer on. You know, maybe it'll get through the queue. And I'll get it, but I can't play it on the air because it's not exactly, legal. I don't know. I guess I am very nervous about giving all of MP3 a credit card number. You see, I'm about to order more slipcovers. I'm like the slipcover queen. I am like the slipcover queen. Why does anybody like order? If I had realized about slipcovers when I bought my couch and my love, not couch, my love seat and my chair, because I couldn't get a whole couch because the good wall is where the computer and everything is. You know, it was like either get a couch and a chair or get a love seat and a chair. And what was going to take the most prominence? The computer. And I got this beautiful plum color. Gorgeous, or eggplant, you know, I guess eggplant. You know, because I like purple, but I don't like royal purple that much anymore. But that eggplant, you know, is just gorgeous. And then you realize it's like too dark. And I discovered SureFit slipcovers. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, merciful heaven. And I just buy slipcovers, and they're not that cheap. But it's a slipcover's like a shower curtain. And how would that be, Lynn? Because it changes how everything looks. You know, if you want your whole bathroom to look different, just go out and spend. Well, now that I'm, you know, making a decent living, now I'll buy a $15 shower curtain, you know. But prior to that, go out, just buy a different color for $1.99. And it looks like you redid your whole bathroom. You know, and the slip covers, for years I was into like all the florals. And then somebody who had never even been in my house said, sounds like old lady slip covers to me. So I had to get rid of them. I mean, if somebody never been in my house, never will be in my house. So then I got a package. So then I got these plaid ones on sale that were really nice. Thank you so much. And then, well, you see what the slipcover company has done is they now have like separate slipcovers for the cushions. You used to have to, like, stick it back, and you'd sit, and it would all... Anyway, so I bought a whole new set of slipcovers that then they're too dark, and I hate them. So now they have a new one. So how did I start talking about slipcovers? So this weekend, Saturday, I went to Bloomingdale's. I just walked around Bloomingdale's for hours, didn't buy anything. Because, of course, what do I like? What I like, oh, thank you. Somebody sent me the ABBA, an ABBA CD, DVD. San Diego Sports. I don't understand what this is. Russia. Oh, thank you. Is this the guy who's been calling you every minute? Oh, that's a package to you. Okay, well, thank you. Somebody sent me the videotape. He wrote on the videotape, do not x-ray. You think the NSA gives a shit? You think the NSA cares? So he sent me the videotape of Rush on Broadway where he talks to me. And the DVD of ABBA, which I guess he copied. Thank you. People have sent me the best things. I have... on videotape. And I don't think, if they ever put The Prisoner out on DVD, I have the whole thing on videotape. And I had Robert Altman's Three Women on videotape before anybody ever put that out. All right, so I walked around Bloomingdale's, and what's my whole problem? You know, because I had to go to a different store because I thought they might have my blue coat. You know, that's in my mind. The blue coat of her mind. Could I call my book that? The blue coat of my mind. But they didn't. And then everything I loved in Bloomingdale's was like age inappropriate. And then Sunday in New York. Oh, my God. Sunday in New York. You know, we had temperatures like in the 50s. And the front came through Saturday. So Saturday, it's raining, but it's like 55. And Saturday night, it snowed, number one. The temperature dropped 30 degrees. And the wind was 40 miles an hour. You walked out of your house in New York on Sunday. And I was all right, I am going to go to Macy's. A different Macy's that I hardly ever go to in Flushing. And unlike when I sit around my neighborhood and say, we don't have one decent Chinese restaurant. Flushing, Queens is Chinatown. It's 40 years ago. It really is 40 years ago during the World's Fair. The Chinese people who came for the World's Fair liked it so much that they stayed and they brought all their relatives. That's true. That's how it became Chinatown in Flushing. Is the people for the World's Fair in 1960, whatever. I wish all the Belgian waffles had stayed. That was like the big thing at that World's Fair. Oh, for a few years after that, Belgian waffles wherever you went. I don't think we had ever heard of a Belgian waffle until then. But the Chinese people stayed. So the problem there is there are too many Chinese restaurants. There's like a good number, because when you're in a place that's just Chinatown, you don't know where to go, because the little hole-in-the-wall places that probably would be the best, right? Also, all tend to look really filthy, don't they? And then I've never trusted like those big, fancy, over-decorated Chinese places. So anyway, Sunday, I say, I don't care if it snowed, I'll put my boots on. Since I have so many pairs of boots now. And how cold can it be? Well, I walked out the door and I discovered that it could be 25 degrees with 40-mile-an-hour wind. Now, you people who may be listening in Minnesota say that's like a warm spell, you know, for you, not for us. So I didn't do anything. I went back home and I cleaned. I cleaned like all those weird places that you never clean. Like the top of my refrigerator. When was the last time you took everything? Now, the top of my refrigerator is, that's where I keep the matzah and my booze. So I have like three bottles of booze and some matzah and, you know, some other crap I have up, you know. So I took everything off the top. I cleaned the top of my refrigerator. I did something I haven't done in months before I worked 5 days a week, I used to do all the time, which was I got down on my hands and knees and scrubbed my kitchen floor and my bathroom floor, because I believe that's the only way it's clean. You can take that little quickie mop, you know, and even if you use ammonia and water, I don't believe you're ever really cleaning your floor. I really don't, unless you're down on your hands and knees. So I did. So that was like my weekend. And then yesterday, I'm sure you're all interested, I said, I really want to go to this Flushing Macy's. You know, and get some Chinese food and hope I don't get poisoned. And they have all these shops, although there's one near me now, where they have all these weird teas, the tapioca tea. You know, and you don't know what any of this shit is. And whatever you order, the person at the next tables looks better. You know, because, you know, I don't even know what this crap is. Although when it gets warmer, there is one not that far from me, so you can just keep trying them. I know what tapioca is. I love tapioca pudding. Tapioca pudding is fabulous, but you have to, it's too fattening. So yesterday, I say, all right, now I'll go to Macy's because it's too cold, but, you know, it's warmer than it was. And was I lucky that I had the day off and I didn't rush out of the house, because I get to the subway and there is no subway at all. Now, I was originally pissed off, but then I realized, of course, that I was lucky that I didn't go anywhere. Because had I gotten to where I wanted to go, not that I couldn't have gotten back home, but it would have been a big pain in the ass getting back home. And why do you want a pain in the ass like that on your, on a day off when you didn't have to go anywhere really in the first place? And what had happened is this truck exploded somewhere, and it was burning right under the subway tracks. That's why they closed the subway, because they were afraid, you know, it somehow compromised. Because my subway, I know it's a contradiction in terms, but my subway where I live is actually an elevated train. You know, and then it turned into, do you realize if we were ever attacked, how fucked we are? Now, all that happened, right, is a, it was a tanker truck, right, with 8,000 gallons of gasoline or something, and somehow it flipped over and caught on fire on some parkway. I don't know the names of the roads because I don't drive. To me, you get in a taxi, you know, you go. But it was like at the convergence of two main roads, the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway and something else. And to make it worse, they had some, they're building ramps. They're building like new entrances. And they have these wooden things built, you know, that are just supposed to be until they build the new ones. So, of course, with the truck overturned, it burned up these wooden, temporary ramps. It was like in the worst spot this could have happened, really. It burned those up. It was under the subway, so they needed to shut that down for like 4 hours. And then how did they check to see if the subway tracks are compromised? They send out all these maintenance men. You know, the people went on strike so that they could get a raise. They send them out, and what deep scientific method do they use to see if the subway tracks have been compromised? They all go out on the tracks and jump up and down. I swear to God, that's what they were saying on the news. That's what they were saying. They said there are all these subway maintenance workers on the tracks near, you know, whatever stop this was, jumping up and down to see if, like, they're going to fall through. Then they'd say, well, we better fix the tracks before we send the train, because Melvin there just broke his back. So they used this very scientific method. Then, this is the best. See, and there are stories, like, I tell you this New York story, this could happen anywhere. This could happen anywhere. They're trying to get the debris off the road, because this is like backing up like a million roads. Last night, okay, and it was kind of cold and windy and, you know. So what are they using to break up the debris of this truck that burned up? This gasoline truck. They're using an acetylene torch. Oh, yeah. Oh, I guess the guy who told the other guys to jump up and down on the track said, oh, and there's still gasoline all over, so why don't you fire up the old acetylene torch? So, of course, they started another fire. The whole thing went on fire again. So can you imagine if we're attacked, how fucked up? I mean, we're just screwed. If anything happens, they don't know what to do with you know, some normal accident. Yeah, let's jump up and down on the tracks and light an acetylene torch near gasoline. Okay. It sounds sounds like a good idea to me. I think even I, who barely know what an acetylene torch is, would have said, I don't think so. But you never know. You never get. So, of course, they're announcing, I don't know, there was a story on CNN before, that, you know, some genius in the government says, oh, yeah, we're going to be attacked again. We're going to be attacked. And you think it would be bad, a nuclear weapon? No, it'll be biological. So I don't know, what's their solution to that going to be? You know, it's like the story Alex was talking about, this little kid that got her father beat her to death, her stepfather. Goes on in every city in America. They had that big thing in Miami a year or 2 years ago. Same, it's like the same, no, I think in Miami, what happened was the Department of Children's Services, I believe, lost a child who was then found dead. They lost her. They put her in a foster home, and they forgot about her. They lost her. And then somebody found her dead, but this goes on everywhere. Is there anybody Puerto Rican listening who can explain what this name Nix Mary is? Which is my main question. Because I understand the beating the kids to death, you know, you're never going to stop that. But what is the name N-I-X-Z? M-A-R-Y. What is that? And the mother is named N-I-X-Z something else. So could somebody, and they're Puerto Rican, so I assume it's a Puerto Rican thing, so maybe somebody could explain that to me. All right. We'll come back. Oh, there's people calling. Oh, all right. Okay. Oh, God. Scott, don't hang up, because I think Pay It Forward is just the biggest sack of shit movie I ever saw in my whole life. Oh, Jesus. Lynn Samuels, Sirius Left, 146. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, Lynn.
Thank you.
Oh, great. I'm glad you got the package.
Yeah.
Remember the time you bought a DVD at Best Buy, I think it was, and it wasn't in the package, and they wouldn't give you a return?
Yes. Well, they would, but they told me I had to wait online, and I wouldn't wait online since it wasn't my fault.
Well, I felt bad, so I told them that there wasn't, and that's a real ABBA DVD. I went back, I yanked it out, and I said I didn't get it because I felt bad for you, and I got it for you that way.
You're kidding.
No. That's how I got half my seat. Hello?
Yes. What was that? Oh, you know, I think you should have figured out by now that the NSA listens to every word I say, so
boy,
you better not...
Boy, that was a big bang on my phone.
Yeah, well, you better not be admitting anything. No, they're probably listening to you, too.
I'm a good boy. I paid for that.
Okay.
And I didn't copy that Rush Limbaugh thing either.
Okay.
Listen, hon, I love you.
Thank you very much.
I've been trying to call Howard. I can't get through, but when I do, I'm going to give you a plug on Howard, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, take it easy, baby.
Okay, boy. Howard will just say how great Alex is. I don't know. He doesn't know I'm around. Scott.
Hi, Lynn.
Hi, you liked Pay It Forward? Oh, my God.
Yeah, I bought it a couple days ago at a truck stop. Because I'd seen this kid in another movie I really liked called, Secondhand Lions. And so I bought it. I really liked it. But sorry.
I just thought it was like Oprah. You know, it was like so sloppy and sentimental and I don't know. I like the idea of it. But that's what makes, you know, award shows, I guess.
Well, I got to go buy another Sirius radio. I bought my kids one for Christmas, my daughter and son-in-law, and they, about a week and a half ago, they installed it in their car and listened to it for 2 days, and they were calling me and telling me how much they loved it. Well, the car broke down on the side of a road out there in Oklahoma near their home, and one of the wildfires came through while they were gone to get a wrecker and burn the car with the radio in it.
Oh, my God, but at least they weren't there.
Yeah, but it was a nice car.
Oh, it was a Mustang. What year?
I think it was a 2001.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, they were really, really loved it, and they called me. I'm a trucker, and I said, Dad, when are you coming home? I said, well, I'm going to be home February 4th. And they said, well, could you buy us another Sirius radio? And I said, why?
Oh, my God. Said, yeah, but look, at least it was their car, and it wasn't. They didn't get hurt, and their house didn't burn down, you know.
Well, the house was close, because this happened about 2 miles from their home. This wildfire.
Yeah, but just think of how much worse it could have been than that you have to buy another saddle.
But they listened to you one time when the kids weren't in the car. my daughter loved you. My son-in-law hated you.
Yeah, but yeah, that happens a lot. But you know something? I grow on people. I'm like a fungus.
Yeah, well, my daughter is very liberal, and she married a preacher's son who's very conservative. And they've been married a couple of years. She told me, she goes, give me 3 more years. She goes, I'll have him trained. But anyway, now sorry.
Well, let me know when they get the new radio so I can say fuck you to him.
Well, they're getting it on February. I'm going to be on February 4th, and I'm going to buy one before I get home.
Okay, well, I'll say a special fuck you to the preacher's son, okay?
Okay.
Okay, take it easy, babe. Bye. Wow, look at that. That's a long way to be, a long time not to be home. That's a real long distance. That's a real trucker. All right. So here is, I guess I better check and see what's going on here, shouldn't I? You can't talk too long without looking at the Drudge Report, a raw story, or something. Flashback. In 2004 CNN appearance, Hillary called the house a plantation. And then she did it again yesterday. Well, I guess she thinks that the house is run like a plantation. She apparently has a great consistency. My Hillary. But as of yesterday, we all have a new person who we want to run for president in 2008 after he loses a few pounds. See, he has plenty of time. He isn't going to run. That speech that Al Gore made yesterday was so amazing. Now, the problem is nobody put up Bob Barr's introduction to him. And I bet there are people who won't even have the honesty to admit that Bob Barr introduced him. It's going to be very interesting when you listen to some of these right-wing people. Well, Rush is off all week. But it's going to be really interesting to see if they acknowledge. See, Sean did yesterday. Hannity worked yesterday. And he acknowledged that Bob Barr introduced Al, and he just kept saying, I know. You people are emailing me. I don't know what's wrong with Bob Barr. I can't explain. Well, he believes in the Constitution. Because it was really, it's always a revelation to me to listen to these right-wing people. We're going to get attacked. Oh, we have to do just anything. They're like that lady called Alex. They're like chicken shits. Yeah, honey. Because you know what, Sean? If we don't get attacked by the terrorists, you don't live forever. That's what I don't understand. Everybody's going to die, and nobody guarantees you you're going to get to die like to be an old person laying in a bed. You know, maybe we'll all die in a terrorist attack. Maybe, you know, I'll walk outside and get hit by a, you know, some, how often in New York? It's like every day. You know, some car leaps up on the curb, pins senior citizen talk show host to the building and she gets killed. Or in this neighborhood, we have a lot of shootings in this neighborhood. A few times a year because of the diamonds. Because of the Jews with the diamonds. Oh, pardon me. We're right near the Diamond District. And mostly they're like shooting the guys carrying the diamonds. But, you know, you start shooting in the middle of a crowded street. I try to stay off those streets. I really do. You don't want to, like, get in the middle of these people trying to steal diamonds, shooting in the middle of a street. So, Al Gore, as I had told you, I was probably the first person to mention that he was making that speech yesterday. And he made it. Now, CNN did have on its video, we tried to download, for some reason we can't download video from CNN anymore. I don't understand why not, because we have in the past. But thanks to crooks and lawyers, we got a lot of it, some of it. About the constitutional crisis in America, which is also, by the way, the article by Jonathan Walter in this week's Newsweek, that we are facing a constitutional crisis in that we have a president of the United States who doesn't believe in checks and balances. He doesn't believe in the Congress. He doesn't believe in the courts. He believes he wasn't kidding those times he said, oh, it would be so much easier if it was a dictatorship as long as I'm the dictator. Everybody thought, isn't that cute? Until somebody, Sam Alito being one of them, said, you know, there's this whole theory of the unitary executive. And that means he just says, I have the power to do anything. I can sign a law and then put a P.S. at the end. I signed this law, but if I don't like the law, fuck the law. Well, that is a dictatorship, and that is not what the Constitution says. And people are recognizing this. Unfortunately, none of them are in the Congress of the United States. None of them. They're all going to vote. Sam Alito is very big on this. This unitary executive. What was the main thing that the founders, and believe me, I don't know with this and the Federalist Papers and the blah, 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 blah. I don't know any of that shit. I know one thing, though. They didn't want a king. They didn't want a king because they came over here from over there. And believe me, you didn't get on a plane and fly for 7 hours then. You know, when I 10 years ago started reading the autobiography of Benjamin Franklin and never got past 20 pages. I read like 2 pages a year. The most amazing thing in that we never think about is that it took 2 weeks to get from Philadelphia to Boston on a boat. What is Philadelphia to Boston? It's like 40 minutes, right? On Amtrak? On that fast one? It's fast. Couple of hours, whatever. But it took 2 weeks. That's why these people had actual thoughts. You know, 2 weeks and they didn't have a cell phone to watch King Kong. You know, they weren't playing with their PSP. They were having like actual thoughts. Shit, I'm on this boat for 2 weeks. I better be thinking about something. And that is the one thing I know. They didn't want a king. They invited George Washington to be the king. And he said, king? We don't have a king. We came here to get rid of a fucking king. What do you mean a king? And the entire Constitution was written based on that concept. We have escaped from monarchy. We have escaped from dictatorship. We have escaped from the mere concept of a king. We will have 3 co-equal branches of the government. The executive, the legislative, and the judiciary, and they will check and balance one another. And this schmuck, who never got elected, never got elected as far as I'm concerned, he comes along. Oh no, when they voted to let me go after Al-Qaeda. That meant that I can spy on everybody, only in your mind. This man is so dangerous, it's unbelievable. And only Al Gore seems to notice it. So let's take a break. Isn't it time for a break? Oh, it's way more than time for a break. And we'll play a little bit of Al Gore. We'll play the two good parts at the beginning. Lynn Samuels, Sirius Left, 146. Okay, so let's play the first Al Gore thing.
One of the other ways the administration has tried to control the flow of information has been by consistently resorting to the language and politics of fear in order to short-circuit the debate and drive its agenda forward without regard to the evidence. Fear drives out reason. Fear suppresses the politics of discourse and opens the door to the politics of destruction. The founders of our country faced dire threats. If they failed in their endeavors, they would have been hung as traitors. The very existence of our country was at risk. Yet in the teeth of those dangers, they insisted on establishing the full Bill of Rights. Is our Congress today in more danger than were their predecessors when the British Army was marching on the Capitol? Is the world more dangerous than when we faced an ideological enemy with tens of thousands of nuclear missiles ready to be launched on a moment's notice to completely annihilate the country? It is simply an insult to those who came before us and sacrificed so much on our behalf to imply that we had more to be fearful of than they did. And yet they faithfully protected our freedoms, and now it's up to us to do the very same thing. We have a duty as Americans to defend our citizens' right, not only to life, but also to liberty and the pursuit of happiness. It is therefore vital in our current circumstances that immediate steps be taken to safeguard our Constitution against the present danger posed by the intrusive overreaching on the part of the executive branch and the president's apparent belief that he need not live under the rule of law. I endorse the words of Bob Barr when he said, and I quote, "The president has dared the American people to do something about it for the sake of the Constitution. I hope they will." A special counsel should be immediately appointed by the Attorney General to remedy the obvious conflict of interest that prevents him from investigating what many believe are serious violations of law by the president.
Oh, my God. And you know what? I think a caller said it to Alex. But he won, you know. We always, even I forget that Al Gore won the election. He won the election. He won the election. He really, if he could just run and be like this and not listen to all those people who said, "Oh, Al, be boring." If he could be like this, I mean, it is so obvious that this president wants to be a, you know, you think I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. And everybody's like, "Oh, yeah, you know, this is, it really is how Hitler took over." Well, yeah, life, oh, what good, what's that, what's the big right-wing line is? What good is it to have the Constitution if you're dead? You know, that's their theory. All they want to do is stay alive. Now, I want to stay alive as much as the next person. But not to live in a dictatorship. Not to be in a dictatorship. There's one guy. And well, is it even relevant to mention, since we're talking about a higher standard? The one person who wants to be the dictator of this country is a fucking moron. You know, it would be a lot easier, like, if Bill Clinton would have said, "I want to be the dictator," you'd say, well, at least you read a book, you know. At least you read a book, at least you know some history, at least you know something. But this guy is an imbecile. You know, I went to a dinner, which I guess I'll tell you more about tomorrow. for Bob Grant, who was the first right-wing, you know, talk show host. And, you know, because there was no syndication, then we didn't have the technology. He never got to be a national figure. But everybody at that dinner was a right-winger. You know, the people from Newsmax, ugh. I can't say ugh, because Newsmax gave the dinner. So I had a lovely steak at Gallagher's. You know, it's Gallagher's, I don't know, I assume it's expensive. But to me, it's more expensive than McDonald's. But it's full, a lot of people there. You know, it seems to be a lovely, we were in a private room, of course. These right-wingers, and here I am, I'm like the liberal, right? Guess what? They all hate Bush. They all think Bush wants to become a dictator. They're all against the war. Because these are real conservatives. These are like Pat Buchanan people. Although they think he doesn't go far enough. They think Pat doesn't go. They think if you go too far against Bush and you're on the right, that they will destroy you. And who knows? Maybe they're right. All right, can we play the second... The second part of this, this is the second thing from Crooks and Lawyers.
Republican as well as Democratic members of Congress should support the bipartisan call of the Liberty Coalition for the appointment of this special counsel to pursue the criminal issues raised by the warrantless wiretapping of Americans by the president. And it should be a political issue in any race, regardless of party, section of the country, House of Congress, for anyone who opposes the appointment of a special counsel under these dangerous circumstances when our Constitution is at risk. Secondly, new whistleblower protection should immediately be established for members of the executive branch who report evidence of wrongdoing, especially where it involves abuse of authority in the sensitive areas of national security. Third, both houses of Congress should, of course, hold comprehensive and not just superficial hearings into these serious allegations of criminal behavior on the part of the president, and they should follow the evidence wherever it leads. Fourth, the extensive new powers requested by the executive branch in its proposal to extend and enlarge the Patriot Act should under no circumstances be granted unless and until there are adequate and enforceable safeguards to protect the Constitution and the rights of the American people against the kinds of abuses yes. that have so recently been revealed. Fifth, any telecommunications company that has provided the government with access to private information concerning the communications of Americans without a proper warrant should immediately cease and desist their complicity in this apparently illegal invasion of the privacy of American citizens. Freedom of communication is an essential prerequisite for the restoration of the health of our democracy. It is particularly important that the freedom of the internet be protected against either the encroachment of government or efforts at control by large media conglomerates. The future of our democracy depends on it.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine how different everything were if he had sat in the White House in 2000? You know, because we can forever go on. 9/11 never would have happened. You will never convince me that ever would have happened. If he was sitting, and we certainly never would have invaded Iraq. It would be like a different world. All right, let's take the last break, and I will talk to some of you peoples hanging on. We're going to save those, right? We're going to save, we don't need to save George Clooney. There was good ones. But we'll save Al Gore so we can hear it again. Okay, Lynn Samuel, series left. All right, wait, I have to take my glasses off. Charles in Vermont.
Hi, Lynn, how are you?
Okay, what's up?
I'd just like to spend a minute on the soapbox and talk about an accident in California last week.
Oh, all right, please, I'm not interested, I'm really not. Mike in Wisconsin. I'm sorry, I had my glasses on. I saw he wanted to talk about Schwarzenegger, and then I put my glasses back on, and I can't read with the... Anyway, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have put you on. Call me tomorrow. Mike in Wisconsin.
Okay, my closing comment...
Your closing comment? Yes.
This is in a forum on a news group called All Politics Economics. And my closing comment to a righty on there was, if they were to have the election tomorrow, Al Gore would beat George Bush by more than he did the first time.
Oh, my God. Al Gore, you're right. You're right. Al Gore could win in a walk immediately.
I believe that absolutely. And I think he's shaping up to be looking like he might be the right guy.
Hasn't he said he's not running anymore for anything? I thought he had
he didn't lose. I mean, he actually won.
Yes, he did.
So why can't you run him again? Because he's not a loser.
Well, does he want to put up with being called a lawyer and a psycho? And oh, he said he invented the internet when he never said that. Does he want to put up with that anymore?
Well, that's a good question. I wouldn't know, but I'm pretty sure that he could probably beat whoever the Republicans want run.
I absolutely agree. If he would stay like this, if he would not listen to all the advisors who said, tone it down.
Oh, that's the last thing he needs to do.
No, he needs to stay like this and lose a few pounds. All right, I'm with you. I'm totally with you. Thank you. Bye. Goodbye. Sometimes people just don't leave, but it's always my fault. George in Georgia.
Hey, Lynn.
What's up?
Hey, check this out, man.
Yes.
The only reason why Democrats are looking so stupid right now.
Yes.
Because George the King, as you call him, has strategically put everybody in place. You got a Hispanic that ain't going to go against you for nothing in the world. He just happens hell to be there for his people. Then you got a black there that's not, look how they let the Russian representative talk about Condoleezza Rice last week. So she's not going to do anything. So he got everything lined up where people are not going to say anything to him. So he really is a dictator. And if Gore had a spoke like this when he was running, he would have won hands. That's common sense.
But of course there was no reason for him to speak like, you needed Bush after these 5 years to come in and destroy the country.
Mm-hmm. See, right now, if he says he's going to run, then everybody will start dogging him.
That's right.
But what I'm saying is, I'm just a dumb voter, but I'll tell you this. When they thought that the crazy man in Vermont was running for president.
Howard Dean.
When they thought Dean was going to beat George Bush, the media started dogging him and made him be unlockable to his own voters.
Yes, you're 100% right. I want to squeeze one other person in, okay, babe?
Thank you.
Todd, in my favorite place that I miss so much, Las Vegas.
Hey, we wish you were here with us right now.
I wish I were there, losing my money.
I just hope Al Gore's listening. Al, please run.
Oh, I'm sure Al Gore has nothing better to do than listen to me.
I mean, he would win. He should have won the last time he ran.
But the thing is, don't fall into that, because I do. He did win.
He did. And
he got 500,000 more votes, and Bush got stuck in there by the Supreme Court. Al Gore won.
Well, we need him back. I hope he's listening. I hope he runs. He's our best hope.
I'm 100,000,000% with you. All right. Well, I see everybody's like so into Al Gore. So we'll talk about him some more tomorrow. How about that? We have...